bit of ourselves just chatting and that, and then move on to the episode, because now we're at the point where we want to actually speak about it.
Is that so? Because we're recording right now, Bradley. Welcome to the very first episode of Swinging Through Spider-Man with me, James Rushton, and my best friend, Bradley Hughes.
Hey up.
How are you doing, mate?
I'm all good, man.
Yeah. We were planning the intro, and I forgot to record it whilst we was making all the jokes, so unfortunately we've ruined the episode for ourselves, and we're not even into it.
Yeah, just ruined the whole entire podcast, like everything. Just close it down. It's done before it's even started.
Well, shall we save ourselves? We'll hit the intro, and we'll catch you in about 30 seconds after you enjoy this little bit of pre-packaged audio.
Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go. There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider.
It seems I've heard that song before.
Call the patent office, copyright the name Green Goblin. I want a corner every time somebody says it.
That spider freak making me look ridiculous.
Up, up and away, Web!
What? Spider-Man?
Shazam! Stupid reporters still think Puny Parker's Spider.
Go, Web, go!
We're gonna have a hell of a time.
So, the plan for this podcast in general is to read every single issue of The Amazing Spider-Man. It actually starts in an anthology comic called The Amazing Fantasy 15. And you know, everyone knows the famous cover, right, Brad? There's like Spider-Man with this goon under his arm.
Yeah.
And he's swinging through the thing. And that's where Spider-Man comes through. And unfortunately, if you're familiar with Spider-Man at all, you're going to know what we're going to speak about in this episode, because the same story has literally been in two entire film series. You know, The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield and Spider-Man 1 with Tobey Maguire. It's the same thing. It's the man gets bit, he turns into Spider-Man, and, you know, the plot is the same. But it has that 60s whole feel going on, thanks to the writing. But it's the best place to start off, isn't it, really?
When we saw Spider-Man Homecoming, it was just like, thank God I don't have to watch another prick get fucking bit by a spider. Like, Jesus Christ, how many times? Like, you know, you were watching Batman versus Superman, it's just like, oh, we're gonna watch Batman become Batman again. It's like, only so many times you can actually hear it, or watch it, or read it.
Yeah, completely. And but yeah, we have to go through that again, because, you know, the mission here is to go through episode by episode, issue by issue, until we hit some arcs and storylines where we can kind of blend it a bit more together for the sake of our own sanity, really. And I was looking at the reading orders for Spider-Man, and there's a lot of shit, to be honest, Brad. There's tie-ins all over the place. You know, there's the 80s money grab issues where, you know, it's like, buy this series to find out what happens next. And I think for the most part, mate, we'll be sticking to the main Amazing Spider-Man. Unless there's something critical happening.
Yeah.
Then we'll veer off then. You know, when there's crossover events, you know, we've got Secret Wars in about 200 fucking episodes or whatever. And Civil War and all that. We'll do that, but we'll take a different approach, a more cinematic approach. But yeah, episode by episode, issue by issue, until, you know, we get the run of things, until we know where we stand, and maybe we can blend a few in then. But yeah, we have to head back to the 60s now, mate, unfortunately. Amazing Fantasy 15 is the very first appearance of Spider-Man. And without any further ado or any further waffle, we'll go straight into it. If you're all right with that, of course. If, you know, you've set the rules already. We first meet Peter Parker at high school age, and immediately he's been fucking roasted by literally everyone around him. The first time you see him, there's people just pointing and laughing at him. And he's just got his head down. He looks really upset. But the flip side to this is, we also see in the very early stages that he has a sound life at home. His Uncle Ben is really close to him. And the first time we see Uncle Ben, he's actually waking Peter up. You know, he's got his hands all over him, ruffling his hair. And it looks like his hands on his waist as well. I've included that little thing. His hands are all over
proper
him,
isn't it? Like,
yeah. It's like,
wake up, son. He's getting pretty rowdy.
Yeah.
Just going to have a little...
If my father figure did that to me at age 15, there'd be blood. There were, like...
Straight under the phone to Childline.
Well, early, like, in this kind of first issue, you'll find many points where the series could have just ended naturally. It's like, I'm not sure if at this point they thought, oh, let's make a series out of this, because we're not really going into the behind-the-scenes stuff. We're just going on the comic storyline rather than what, you know, Stan Lee was doing. But there's many points where this could have just went, yeah, it's over. But we also meet his Aunt May at the start. She's cooking his breakfast, and I'm not entirely sure what she's cooking, mate. It's called wheat cakes, and it sounds like the worst pancake. You know, it doesn't sound like a nice thing. Do you know what a wheat cake is?
Couldn't tell you.
They look like pancakes. In the comic, they look like pancakes. And, another uncomfortable Uncle Ben thing is that he talks about wrestling Peter in that second panel. He's like, don't fatten him up too much. I can hardly out-wrestle him now. And I'm like, this is a bit physical. there's a bit of groping going on the side. I know it's completely innocent, but like looking at this modern view, he's got his hands all over his nephew, like literally. And I know it's not like that.
And the thing is as well, it's like when you actually look at it, he's like sitting at this desk, sitting at his table, like drinking this glass of milk in just like legit Sunday best.
Like the first two panels have his uncle with all arms on him. There's not, you know. It's all on. It's actually, but we know it's not, you know, sinister or anything. It's just looking at it from this modern view. It's just like, what? It's just entirely, you know, it is just a bit, it seems a bit weird. I mean, like, I have to say, I know it's not, but it seems that way. But yeah, I do digress, because we also now know in the third panel we head on, Peter Parker is a clean-cut, honest student. He loves his science, mate. He loves
science.
We see his teacher's got his hand. Well, he's got his hands all over it. It looks to be a paper, and he is. He loves the.
Where's his neck?
The chemistry teacher looks like, and we did speak about this. He looks like, you know, in Spy Kids, them bum people.
It's all head and then shoulders. there is nothing in between.
Yeah. There's also the butter lady in the back, who's completely yellow, completely margarine. but yeah, Peter, it's all right, it's all right. Peter, he seems to like straight up ask a woman out as well, and I think it's just setting the scene. She basically rejects him, and she just ruins him. She asks, "Why would I go out of you when there's people like Flash Thompson who exist?" And that's really, I feel, very analytical from her. That it's, you know...
Oh, my God. It's literally like, get lost, Square. You're not cool.
Yeah, Flash Thompson puts his hand in his face and he's like, get lost, mate, bookworm. Peter bounces back from this. And I understand why he does it, because he has to change his approach to a woman, obviously, after being blown off. So, you know, incredibly in front of everyone, he actually asks an entire group of people out at the same time to the science hall, and they don't just blow him off, they actually get in a car and shout at him from the car whilst he heads to the science exhibit, where everything changes. Every single thing in his life will change at this science exhibit. So of course, in this time period, random kids seem to be allowed into radioactive experiment rooms where there seems to be absolutely zero protection at all. So with this lack of safety, nobody seems to notice a spider dangling, you know, seductively almost off screen. And the comic actually notes this spider as a spider who has been given a starring, if brief, role in the drama we call life. And I think that's a really, really dramatic bit of writing for this comic. But yeah, we all know what happens, mate. The spider absorbs radiation. It goes wild. It bites the nearest thing, which happens to be Peter Parker, before shuffling off this mortal coil and dying. Yeah, the spider's gone. Peter's been bit. It's a Spider-Man story. But it's also got that weird 60s thing, you know, there's no health and safety obviously going on, because the worst thing about this is a kid screams during an experiment and no one actually stops it.
Oh, God. Ah! Ah! Are you okay, son? Ah! Really, he should be really happy. He should be really happy that those people that he invited didn't actually come along. Because then they'll just see him being bit by a spider and instantly weeping.
But, like, they'll see him bit by a spider, then, you know, this is the one time we'll skip into the future. They'll see someone crawling around acting like a spider. It is very easy to put two and two together, I feel. So, you know, it is perfectly balanced in the hands of fate, mate.
It's like those weird kids back when you was at school that used to run like Naruto, so they thought they were Naruto.
Oh, yeah, well, come on, that's actually really interesting you said that, because at the end of these first two issues, he basically runs off into the distance crying, like, because he hates everything he's done. So the spider bites him. The worst thing here is that, you know how we started it, this whole saga starts off with people ripping the piss out of him. The scientists rip the piss out of him as well.
Well, they're just there like, hey, Frank, did you see that little boy that screamed over a spider bite? What a square, right? Not like that Flash Thompson. And now, that's a boy I'd like to wrestle with.
Have you filled out those health and safety papers?
This is the 60s. We don't know about health and safety.
Peter walks home, and for whatever reason, he's moping in the middle of the road. A car comes close to hitting him, but due to Peter's newfound agility and quote-unquote spider sense, he literally jumps 10 feet up a wall, and you'll never guess what happens next, mate. The drivers take the piss out of him after almost killing him.
That's terrible.
Like, I think the writers, Stan Lee, really wants to go in hard on this whole everyone is ripping the piss out of Peter angle.
Well, when you kind of remember who the comic was made for, it was like, obviously the Captain America and Superman were about at the time, and they literally created Peter Parker to be a character that could, you know, be someone who you could associate yourself with as being a young comic collector at the time. You know, that's why his character was literally made, so that you're supposed to connect with him. And obviously, it's like we said the other day, you know, collecting comics when it was that day and age, it wasn't exactly the done thing to do. You know, nowadays, it's not so much, it's a niche, but it's not so much frowned upon. Or, you know, to the point where you would get bullied.
Yeah, it's not like this geeky thing, is it? It's like, it's extremely... And it has been for a long time now, actually. I mean, you don't get mainstream comic massive fans, but you'll get, you know, 2 out of 10 people probably read a comic, which is probably a lot more than it was maybe 20 years ago, especially if...
I'd say another 2 out of those 10 are the kind of people that sit down and go, I'd like to read one, but I have no idea where to get into it.
That's exactly why you listen to this podcast, so you can follow us with us as we discover the entire saga of Amazing Spider-Man. That's exactly what we are here for.
It's basically filling the blanks so you don't have to go out and go get them.
Yeah, because this will, if you didn't have the subscription services or anything, this would cost you a bomb. I don't think you'd be able to actually buy this without dropping a bomb, especially
the other thing is as well, is that the other way that you can get a hold of it is, you know, to illegally download it, and you know, by subscribing to something like Comixology or another streaming service like that, you know, you're actively giving to the artists that and the writers of, you know, modern day comics. You know, you are paying into the system, which is great.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, we don't encourage illegal downloading, by the way. It's something we heavily discourage, right? I mean,
yeah, definitely. I'll pay for my Spotify.
So, mate, a car's almost hit Peter. He's had the piss ripped out of him. But this is a bit of exposition now. He kind of finds out everything he can do. He's running up walls, crushing a pipe by accident. He's like, holy hell.
Fly, Web, fly!
Yeah, it's exactly the best thing. Exactly. Since I've read the first 6 or 7 issues of this, it is literally the first two Spider-Man films, because the way Tobey Maguire acts and how it is literally the 60s Spider-Man, whereas in the different films, it might be a different kind of origin. It might be like the ultimate Spider-Man, more so of Homecoming, and Andrew Garfield takes a bit more of a modern approach. But definitely with that cheesiness there is, but with looking back on it, the cheesiness, it is really taken from the 60s comics, which is something I'm finding a newfound appreciation for now, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
The less said about that weird ass goblin suit, the better, because it's really tight on Willem Dafoe. but I digress. Because now, much like anyone, Peter wants to earn a bit of cash. So he sees a wrestling match taking place. He reckons that's for him, normal behaviour. If I found out I could crush a pipe, I think I'd go into boxing or something. Straight, you know, knock out Tyson Fury, earn a million.
Tell you right now, done. If I found out I could crush a pipe after being bit by quite clearly a radioactive spider, you wouldn't find me in the ring, son. You'd find me in a hospital.
Oh, yeah. I mean, necrosis isn't a joke, and that is something that you can get from a common spider bite, I believe. I think me and you have experienced Googling spider bites that turn into necrosis, especially at school. And it's not a joke.
Oh, yeah. So, I remember that. The dark times, man.
Yeah, I never forget. Peter wants to earn a bit of money, not, you know, ruin his mind. You know, the internet doesn't exist here, so, you know, he's been a productive member of society by wrestling a huge man for money.
Bonesaw is ready.
His name's not bad.
No, this, oh man, that's so disappointing. That's not like the best part of the movie.
His name's called Crusher Hogan. not Hulk Hogan, it's Crusher Hogan.
Crusher Hogan. Is he current?
Which this is before Hulk.
Is Crusher Hogan being taken out of the Hall of Fame as well?
Crusher Hogan, I haven't seen him again yet in the Spider-Man comics, because he does get his ass handed to him by Peter Parker. And what is incredible here is he disguises himself, because not because I don't want my identity known. It's because he thinks he's going to lose and doesn't want anyone to laugh at him and take the piss out of him. That's a very human thing. You know?
He wouldn't want anyone to come and laugh at him again.
Oh, yeah. Especially after he was almost in a hit and run. And the driver was like, fucking idiot.
I mean, to be fair, your bum. Looking at this geezer in these panels, I'm not going to lie, if I was driving that car, I'd kind of aim for him. He looks like a right dweeb.
It's just his hairline as well. That's a 40... He's a 40-year-old man.
Unlike that Flash Thompson. Now, that's a...
Yeah, that Flash... he looks about 12. Like, it's... The art is, you know, we can look back on it and laugh. But when all you had to do was read Spider-Man, and that's all you had going, that should be pretty cool. But yeah, so he's almost been hit by a car. He goes to do a wrestling show. Bonesaw's not ready because it's Crusher Hogan. he bosses it, mate. Real champ. Chucks him out the ring. Excellent work. But watching it, this is another twist of fate. Spider-Man wins this bout before some kind of like venture capitalist. He sees, you know, the pound signs come into his eyes. You know, he knows there's some money on offer here if he markets the Spider-Man correctly. You know, New York City's got talent, something like that. You know, he's going to be on TV. He sees some money. So Spider-Man, Peter Parker, he gets offered a show on TV, basically. He gets offered a slot on a
straight up,
dude. If you saw a man fucking crawling across the walls and chucking the best wrestler out of the ring, you know, like this is like World's Strongest Man type stuff. It's, you know, the Game of Thrones, the Mountain.
Yeah.
If you saw a little fucking boy pick him up and launch him out of a wrestling ring, he'd be straight on TV. You'd put him straight. Yeah, you wouldn't hesitate.
What kind of like, that's just like random geezers coming off the street and fighting like Big Show at WWE. Like, it's not gonna happen. You gotta be small time first. You gotta work your way up.
Yeah, you gotta
be
a jobber,
haven't
you? You gotta get fucked about a bit before WrestleMania when it's not even on TV.
ECW and that beforehand. Like, you don't just get a guy standing at a ringside in some crummy bar fight just being like, yeah, son, you're gonna get your own show.
Well, you know, considering the fact that the man can walk on walls, I think there's a bit of suspension of disbelief that needs to be going on here.
To be fair.
Yeah. I mean, come on, Brad. But yeah, he gets a daytime slot on TV. This is incredibly quick. It's within three or four pages, mate. He's he's got a place on TV, but he realizes he needs to upgrade his looks, mate. The costume, because his costume in the wrestling isn't even like a Spider-Man. He's just got a sock on his head almost. But he goes home and instantly creates the famous Spider-Man costume, you know, the blue, red, instantly. The black spider, instantly all red and white, blue panels, you know, the white eyes. And so all the money he's just won. Yeah, all the money he's just won is been completely spent on soft, skin-tight fabrics. And I'll tell you right now that he will regret doing that, because $100 that he's won, yeah. And I've done the math, mate. I've done the maths. $100 then in 1962 was worth $794. It was a lot of money.
Wait. Spider-Man's soft fabrics cost him $794. Not even like a flitty.
No, he won $100. And I assume he spent it all. And that $100, if you know, because of how money changes over time, inflation and all that,
yeah,
it was actually worth around, that would be worth $794 in today's money. So he's just pissed all that away.
Yeah, but on soft fabrics. Like, couldn't you have got anything better?
But I don't know. I'm not here to judge the man. You know what I mean?
I am.
I'm just saying that he'll regret it. I'll tell you now, right now. But part of the dosh should have went on his web suiters, I believe. He makes these, you know, web slingers thing. And the best thing is he's literally... Have you ever seen Stand By Me? That film with the kids that go looking for the dead body?
Yes.
You haven't, have you? Have you seen it?
I've seen the Family Guy version of it.
Oh, fucking... Basically, do you know Kiefer Sutherland in it? And he's like the bully. And he's got like a cigarette packet rolled up in his sleeves.
Yeah.
Peter Parker's literally dressed like him. And I think that's the best he's ever looked. But this is his bedroom clothes.
So he's like Snake from Simpsons. Just there, like.
Yeah. He's got his web shooters. He's like, whoa, look at me. He's just showing off his web shooters. And I bet his uncle and I are downstairs just listening to like this absolute madness go on. Because he sounds like he's screaming about these web shooters. I'm like, have they not clocked on to that? Their son might be, you know, well, their adoptive son might be a bit strange. The dynamics are off, mate. Just shaking her head.
Just shaking her head.
What have we done?
Eating those wheat cakes, mate.
So the famous Spider-Man costume is complete. Red and blue. It's got the webs, these webs under the armpits. And I'm not sure about the dynamics, the aerodynamics in that, mate. He's got the web shooters. He's got everything he needs. He's good to go. Then Peter names himself. He names himself Spider-Man. Obviously, the famous name. But I think naming yourself is a really bad move. I think that's not something that you have the right to do, really.
I mean, I don't want to...
That's something the media does.
I don't want to keep going back to the Spider-Man 1, the Tobey Maguire series, but like...
Oh, I do. I love
if
that.
If you don't name yourself, you get called the Human Spider. It's something that happens.
But if you name yourself, you're not always going to name yourself something cool. Like, what if he called himself, like, Crawl Boy?
Yeah,
or something like
that's
that.
What I'm saying. I'm saying in the movie, he tried to call himself the Human Spider, and then the guy that was you know,
his hashtag brand, you know, it had to be built for him by, you know, a cavalcade of SEO experts or something like that. But you know, if you're going to name yourself, you take a big chance. It's scary.
To be fair, it's not like you can run like A/B testing, is it? Like, slide on up to the friends he doesn't have and be like. What do you think about Spider-Man? Or the Human Spider?
He's like got a focus group. He's like, oh, I'm definitely not the Spider-Man, but what do you think of this name?
This is just like people, they're like, who the fuck is the Spider-Man?
Yeah, who is it, Peter? Just tell us what's going on. So he's showing, you know, for a kid who's been, you know, quote-unquote bullied, for most of the issue, he's really showing off in his room. He's got his web slings. He's like, how great is this webbing? Look at me hanging off the roof. And of course, the costume's thin enough to fit under his streetwear, which is a, you know, incredible achievement for him.
See, I'm not gonna lie, man. That's what you get when you spend $100 of 60s money on sweet soft fabrics. Like it's so good and the quality is so fine. You can fit underneath your clothing and yet still breathable.
Still breathable. Plot hole though, because when there is a young lad swinging through the air dressed in red and blue fabric, you know you've sold to someone. Then you know, come on. But if he's the only person who's, you know, not many people are buying red and blue fabric, you know, that material, are they? It can't be. Especially if it's not like wholesale, it's just a kid walking in.
Where would you buy such expensive fabrics from as well? Like, the thing is, it's just soft fabric. It's not even like it's like aerodynamic or military or anything like that. It's just like velour.
You know, when people in the budget wrestling, you know, like proper amateur wrestling, I'm not talking about some of the, you know, like progress or anything like that. I'm talking about like proper backyard wrestling when people have that Ibre lycra and it's really see-through and it gets proper sweaty.
Oh, you know, man.
Crap stuff. That's what it's going to be. So you're going to have this like teenage boy just sweating everywhere and it's just going to be, it's not good. It really isn't. And the thing is, he takes this on TV. Obviously, he's got his TV show. He's showing off. A man is screaming. He's like, I can't believe that there's a man crawling up the studio wall. So,
Look, his mind's absolutely twisted. Like, dropped to his knees, like, oh God, why?
But everyone is like, it's just like, do you know when in WWE someone will run out from surprise and everyone will scream, literally, like the most rabid scream? It's literally like that when Spider-Man's pissing around on the TV. Everyone loves him. The second he finishes, mate, the second he finishes his show, people are offering him music deals, cash, interview offers, TV deals, anything. And he tells them, he tells them to see his agent, an agent he actually doesn't have. It's the pure fucking ego of this kid. Like, and it's the type of ego that you'd see in a fucking school shooter or something like that. Who's like hates the world and he's like fuck everyone.
I've only ever seen one ego like this, and that man is Kanye West.
No, this is worse, mate. Like this guy, Kanye West has been, you know, built up a successful music career. This geezer has been on TV a day. So yeah, mate. We come to the pivotal scene. This is the one thing that will define Spider-Man's life, or at least his early days. He gets away from the crowd. A thief and a police officer are sprinting past him. I'm not sure what the thief is stealing from a TV studio, but nonetheless, the thief makes it into an elevator. He starts discussing the workings of the elevator here. He's like, look how fast this elevator is, and how high-tech the elevator is. And of course, the policeman goes to the Spider-Man. He's like, why didn't you stop him? Spider-Man literally turns around to this police officer and goes, it's not my job. I'm done with being told what to do. And I'm like, you're a dickhead. If only you realised what would come of this.
To be fair, it does feel as though they're building him up to be a dickhead. Like, you're not supposed to like him being as arrogant as he is. It's sort of like...
I bet in the 60s, mate, like, this was like, oh, the nerd gets back. But he really does seem like an asshole in this. And the artwork's on the notes for you, mate, of this scene. He does really seem like one of the worst people. I get like he's gone through a bit of hardship, but he's just been an asshole. I can't really find an excuse for it because no one, like, the thief is literally unarmed. He's a weedy ass geezer. All Spider-Man had to do, and you know, the police officer doesn't know that Spider-Man could just knock him out with one punch. You know what I mean? And he knows he can. Spider-Man knows he can, like, smack this guy up. But, you know.
It's almost as if, like, with great power comes great responsibility.
It's almost.
Almost like that. I mean, somewhere along those lines.
If only he was told that before what happens next.
What happens next?
Before what? You don't know what happens next, mate.
No, what happens next?
I don't know what happens next.
I don't know, mate.
What happens next? The fucking criminal, he let go. Fucking goes to rob his house. Uncle Ben interrupts him. The criminal shoots him fucking dead. No, what are you telling me?
No fucking way. Okay, carry on.
It's come on. I mean, there's a bit of a narrative twist. It's like the criminals already commit one crime. Don't commit another crime the same day. Don't do that. You know, don't, if you rob somewhere, don't go into another house and rob it because it's hot. People are looking for you. But yeah, he goes to Uncle Ben's house, robs him. And yeah, Uncle Ben has been stone cold.
Uncle Ben, man, too soon, too soon.
You know, we've been recording this podcast, what, we've half an hour? Someone's dead. This is the first issue, mate. Spider-Man is told while Peter Parker goes home, sees the police car, he's like, what's gone on? The police officer just goes, your uncle's dead. And he tells him that we've, you know, got someone under siege, there's a hostage situation kind of going on. Spider-Man runs off to this warehouse where it's under siege. He confronts the uncle's killer, takes the mask off that the criminal's wearing. He's like, oh shit, I let you
Wait. You mean stealing from the studio? He was like, anyone can see my face. Like, all these witnesses, all these cameras, all these people, anyone can see my face. But a B&E with a little old man and a little old woman, he's like, nah, I've definitely got to cover my face.
What would you rob the place where there was loads of cameras just rolling?
That's what I'm saying. Know? Like, it's just like, I've definitely got to cover my face for the old people. God help it if I get spotted. I might as well, you know, I'm just going to have to end them. In fact, that doesn't even make sense. Like, if he was going to kill Uncle Ben anyway, what's the point in wearing a mask?
Because, well, Aunt May, I think Aunt May have saw him. I'm not too caught up on it. I think it's like a kind of scene that is played out in future comics where it goes into more detail. I think that maybe the killer will have some kind of relation or some reason to go there.
Mm.
But, you know, it just seems like, you know, the done thing. Spider-Man unmasks him. He's shaking, he's shook, and he's like, oh, shit. I could have just stopped this guy literally sticking my foot out, and now my whole life is kind of going off in a different direction. So it
turned upside down.
Yeah, it ends on that note. Spider-Man puts his mask on, and not just realizing that with great power comes great responsibility, mate. It's that great power must come with great responsibility, which is a better line than the one that's in the movies. It's like, you have to. It's not a joke yet, you know. If you got this power, it has to come, that responsibility. And that's something that, you know, he doesn't learn. And that's Amazing Fantasy 15, that, you know, all done. Spider-Man's uncle's dead, but at least Spider-Man's got a nice suit that he's made himself, and he's learned, you know, some tailoring skills that will serve him well down the line. All done.
I'm quite amazed at this, that they did this, and there was like, this definitely deserves a follow-up.
Like, it's all shitloads.
I mean, I'm happy that they did.
And the weird thing is, like, Amazing Fantasy is an anthology, so there's a few other stories in there. But they didn't kind of go off anywhere or do their own thing. It was just Spider-Man was like, time to, you know, have your own issue. And it's like such chance as well, because Amazing Fantasy 15 is the last, it got cancelled. Like, there's no more Amazing Fantasies. It's literally the 15 of them with Spider-Man on the last one. And then they realised Spider-Man's super popular. Give him his own series, and that's what we'll head into in the next episode with The Amazing Spider-Man issue number one. And yeah, that's all done, mate. First issue. Thank you very much for listening, guys. Of course, it's something that, you know, everyone knows the Spider-Man story, I'm sure. It's like Batman. Like, it's a story that's been told loads of really popular things. Like, the comic's super popular. The three films are incredibly popular. Yeah, the three different film series are really popular.
I was about to say, we're just forgetting about the other two, but then I didn't realise you was meaning the series.
Like, nah, it's like, there's the first one, then there's Amazing Spider-Man, then there's obviously the Homecoming MCU kind of thing. But yeah, that's Amazing 15 kind of wrapped up. Next episode will be it's Amazing Spider-Man number one, the next one. So we really set off onto our journey now. In the going into the next episode, everything kind of goes forward from there.
I am a changed man. For the better.
You're not. Because I know for a fact you've seen that story 7 times.
No. I know, but you know why I'm a changed man? You know why I'm a changed man? Because I saw that guy at the very beginning that looks like a thumb, and that is forever going to stay with me because that is absolutely hilarious. Like, oh my god, the guy looks like a thumb. It's so funny.
You know, everyone who listens to Swinging Through Spider-Man, we're going to dart through the series now. Thank you very much for listening. Any feedback you can offer to me and Bradley will be appreciated. It might not be listened to. It might not be acted upon. But anything that we hear from people who, you know, respond to us in a negative or positive way, gets listened to. And we might not act on it. But yeah, thank you very much for listening. If you liked it, I'd suggest subscribing now.
you're like Peter Parker, just like, I'm getting tired of being told what to do. No one tells me what to do.
But if you are listening, please listen to what I'm telling you to do, because if you subscribe or follow us or leave sweet reviews, you know, we can carry on doing this and it can feed our ego in a way that we might get our uncle killed if it goes too far. But yeah, that's it for this one. I've been James Rushton. That's Bradley Hughes.
I've been Bradley Hughes.
You have. And we will hit you up with 700 more issues of Spider-Man as we go on.
Oh, God. What have I signed up for?